So, Carrie, tell me a little bit more than there is policy with IBAND related to the beef checkoff. Tell us more about your guys' current policy and how that plays into this legislation or how that correlates.
Okay, well, back in 2015 when this bill was presented to increase our checkoff from $1 to $2, our position was that we do not oppose checkoff money to support our industry. But our thought at that time was this should have been put forth to the vote of the producers and let them decide rather than the legislature. And, of course, we lost that battle. And so it, you know, the legislature, you know, decided that, you know, it would be all right to have the second dollar. I can understand the legislature's part as far as why they did it. But on the other hand, when you look at all the other commodity groups, their boards, their corn growers, the soybean growers, et cetera, their board is made up of elected officials, where our North Dakota Beef Commission is appointed by the governor. And so that's why we felt that the fairest way would be have it put up to a vote of the producers throughout the state and see what their opinion would be of it. And that's kind of how that started. And so ever since 2015, we've been paying into that second dollar into the checkoff. And so now we are here in 2021, and this bill is presented, and we look back to where we've come from 2015, and you being involved in with your husband in the livestock business and farming and ranching business, know that we'd be, all be happy to have our markets that we had back in 2015. And so then that begs the question, what has this extra dollar of investment really done for us? And so anyway, this brings us to this bill now that's going to be presented. And so as an organization, we hear all the complaints from producers, whether they're members or not. They'll say, when did it happen that we have to pay the second dollar? Well, we tell them, well, that was voted on by the legislature back in 2015. But then we tell them, next comment they'll say is, well, why didn't we have a say in it? And, then as the legislature told us at the time, your vote is the ability to ask for the refund. And a lot of them do not know that that is available to them to ask for that second dollar back. Those that do know about it, just keep getting calls all the time about people that have tried to get their second dollar back and the hurdles that they've run into. And a lot of the cases is that, like a lot of these duties, it falls on the wife to, call in and get the refund so we can get our dollar mm-hmm. checkoff back. Well, a lot of times if it's a wife calling in and her name isn't specifically on the check, they'll deny it. And so then they have to turn around and grab their husband or whatever and say, well, you got to call in. You got to ask for it. They won't send it to me. And other stipulations to where, you have 60 days from the time that you sell the cattle to request for your checkoff. Well, a lot of the points that people make is, well, why don't they just have it at the end of the year? If that's what your feelings are, just submit in a request once a year for your checkoff dollars back and be done with it. But if you miss that 60-day period, you're out of luck. And I hear that a lot from producers that, well, we missed the time period. Why can't they just let us, apply for it all at once and all that stuff? And so I think back to the intent of this bill to just make it voluntary is try to clean up a lot of this and make it simple to where at the time when you consign your cattle and, you're unloading them at the sale barn or whether it's private treaty or whatever, you got the option to say, I want to opt in or I want to opt out. And either you pay it in then or you don't. and just make it simpler. Mm-hmm. But try to clean up some of this. With testifying in favor of the bill, you know, there's a lot of things that pop up. Is majority and I don't have the exact figure in front of me right now, but a majority share of this money gets sent on to NCBA. And the big question is there, and it's such a gray area, is if it's sent to the CBB, the Cattlemen's Beef Board, which uses that money for funding, research, education, and promotion, that's probably what us as producers want to see. But if it's sent on to the Beef Federation, and then they decide how they're going to allocate and spend the money as far as research, education, promotion, or different types of projects, and skim off their administration fees on top of it, are we really getting the bang for our buck? And so that's one of the major questions. And going back to 2015 compared to now, what really have we gotten for our return on our investment? And another point I want to make is by sending all this money on to NCBA, and this is just my personal opinion, but NCBA claims that they represent the livestock industry. Well, in my opinion, there's two segments of our industry. There's the beef production side of it, and then the end result of the meat side of it. And I feel there's no way they can represent both the cow-calf producer and the feeder and also the packer. And so I know in your previous interview with Nancy Jo Bateman, she made the comment how, you know, this checkoff dollar has helped add, I think, $340 to every carcass. Well, that's great, but why are we as cow-calf producers and feeders in the state of North Dakota paying that to where none of that $340 comes back to us? In my opinion, that's on the meat side of it. They're the ones that should be paying the promotion on it there.
I guess my other question I had for you, Carrie, was, you know, so obviously with IBAND, you know, supporting this bill, and, you know, kind of it's basically just been introduced. There's still, you know, movement forward that has to be made with this bill. You know, just talking to fellow cattle producers or others that are supporting the bill along with you, you know, what type of support has this bill garnered, and what's the process like to move this bill forward?
Well, we're going to definitely run into opposition. The committee hearing is on Friday, this coming Friday at, I believe, 9 a.m. in the morning. And there's going to be a lot of opposition there from North Dakota Stockman Association and probably past board members of the North Dakota Beef Commission, and all stating, you know, what a good job the checkoff dollar has been. My stance on it personally is, and when you really analyze what the bill is asking to do, is just mainly change one word to where producers must pay into it or producers may pay into it. So it's just a one word change in it to make it voluntary versus the mandatory refund process. My position on it is probably neutral. You know, if either way, you know, we have the refund process right now to get that dollar back. We just need to educate more producers about it if they aren't happy with paying into it. But my point is, or my stance is we need to keep this dollar within the state and use it in the state. And I understand the legislature probably doesn't want to, you know, open up a can of worms as far as all the other commodity groups, because you know, next thing they're going to be wanting, you know, be able to make it voluntary whether they pay into it or not. But my question is, where would the corn industry in our state be now if their checkoff dollars for the corn producers if their checkoff dollars were all sent out of state, where would we be as far as ethanol plants or the soybean industry with the biofuels? Look what that has done in our state over the years. I mean, granted, they've had some good times, they've had some bad times, but that money was kept in the state to develop the product that is produced in the state here. And so my personal thought is, as far as this checkoff dollar, if that was kept in the state to help promote our beef that is born, raised, processed in the state here, and develop it in probably, you know, funnel that money for packing plants so that our producers in our state can get good quality, wholesome beef that many of us grew up on. But you go to the grocery store now to buy beef, you don't know where it comes from. It's got the USDA stamp on, but since 2015, that's another issue I want to point out, is we've lost mandatory COOL, which identified the product from where it come. And so our producers have no idea when they go to buy meat out of the store that where it come from. And if it wasn't evident this past summer of what our industry has gone through with the COVID and stuff, where, you know, the packers shut down and shelves were getting empty, and all of a sudden, you know, us good old North Dakotans realized that, you know, how our parents did it. We either butchered our own or bought it from a neighbor or whatever. And so, you know, we're seeing that every day here now. Just in our own operation, we're getting calls from friends and relatives and people that live in town that, do you have any beef for sale? We can't buy good beef anymore and stuff like we used to have. And so to me, that says the need is here in the state. We don't need to send that money off to a national organization that, yeah, if they can add $340 per carcass, great for them, but they should fund it. And from what we're hearing, reports of what the packers are making for profits right now at buying fat cattle at, I don't know where it is today, I'm just going to say $1.08, and they're turning around and selling box beef. I just heard the other day is like 230 some bucks or something like that. Why? They're making phenomenal profits, but none of it is coming back to us cow-calf producers in the state here.
Well, and Carrie, I guess the final question I have for you is, I know you mentioned how you would like to see more of those dollars that are collected stay in the state. Has IBAND explored any avenues as to how we could maybe accomplish that?
Well, this is another point of discussion for the hearing is, I mentioned before about the make of the North Dakota Beef Commission, how it's appointed by the governor. IBAND, as an organization, every time a position comes up, an opening comes up, we've submitted a name and tried to get a person from our organization on that Beef Commission board to have some representation. And we go through the process of recommendation and letters of recommendation and going through the selection committee. Somehow or another, it gets lost because we follow up and the people that our candidate will get for a letter of recommendation and stuff, and they'll ask if you've ever been called on it or whatever, and they say, no, haven't heard a word. And so there's a lot of inside influence on who gets put on this Beef Commission board. And it's been our feeling all along that it should be like all the other commodities, elected position, and have representation from all the organizations that represent beef producers, Farmers Union, Farm Bureau, Stockman's, IBAND, Feeder Council, Dairy Council, just get a more diverse representation to where maybe we have some say on where this dollar gets sent to. And then if it if we would have that representation and could show that this dollar is being spent in the state here, well, then I think it would be the responsibility of IBAND and Stockman Association and Farmers Union and Farm Bureau to convince the producers of the state that you need the pay end list checkoff. We need to invest this money back in the state to get our packing plants going in the state to where we can provide our good product that we raise here. And one of the things that I am kind of impartial to is our school hot lunch programs. I don't know of a better way to promote our product that's grown and raised in the state here than to provide it for our children and grandchildren through the hot lunch programs. But I think that opportunity is out there, and that's why I say, why is this money all being sent out? Why isn't it being used in the state here?